y'all. I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And I'm my son, the General.
And welcome to Street Politicians,
the place where the streets and politics meet.
And we're talking about critical issues that matter in our communities from the streets all the way to the suites.
Facts.
So my thought of the day, because you know I think all the time. You know, I've been watching on social media, even some of my great friends that have banging bodies. Mm-hmm. They take certain types of pictures, certain types of profiles. And I guess my question is, in order to blow up, I have two questions today. I got two thoughts. In order to blow up and become successful and get the type of attention and build your platform, do you have to take a picture with your butt turned towards the camera showing your backside? Like, I never really take pictures like that, but perhaps I'm not doing it right. And then I guess the second part of that question is, because I'm not hating on those who do, because like I said, these are people who they got it to turn around and show you. So it's all good. But is that what sells and what gets you a man? Like, is that what men want to see? The ass shot?
To be quite frankly, yes. Men want to see it. Right? And it depends on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. This is just from a man's point of view. You know, if you're trying to sell your sexuality, then people who want to buy sexuality are going to buy it. Mm. You know, and if you're trying to find a man who's into that,
yeah,
you know, then that's the type of man you're going to attract. Now, is this person going to be somebody that you can have a long-standing relationship? Who knows? You know, you don't know. You have to understand who you are as an individual, you know, and that's why if you feel you're sexual and you want somebody who likes you because you got a fat backside or because you just this sexy person who doesn't care about the intellect you have, who doesn't want to get to know you, who doesn't really care about anything and they just attracted to this physical being that you present, then cool. That's what it is. Because there's some people that's all they want. They trying to have a good time. They want somebody that looks at them for a good time. Men look at you as a good time. When you are physically showing yourself, they look at you, the first thing they view you as is a sexual image. Mm-hmm. Somebody that they see sexually, you know? So that can mature into something else. A lot of times it really doesn't, because that's what you portrayed, so that's how they see you, and that's the level of engagement you're gonna get.
Because I see even some of my friends who have businesses, right? And they sell products, or they're styling, or they're designing, or they're, you know, whatever. Sometimes when I look at their social media, I'm not sure exactly what we're selling.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're selling the outfit, if we're selling you, if we're selling tail, if we're selling, you know, expression. I'm not always sure. And so I'm just like, maybe I'm looking at it wrong and maybe I'm being too sensitive or whatever. And instead, I should actually be doing it myself.
I'm saying, but
because I got a little once bit of again, too, oh, I can God. Show.
If once again, to. You have to figure out what you're trying to sell. And sex is one of the biggest thing in the world. Like, that's why WAP, when people say WAP, like you said, it's the number one seller all time. So the bottom line is, if you're using a marketing strategy, I tell people all the time.
Oh, it's a marketing
strategy. It's a marketing strategy. That's you know right. what I'm saying? Because sex is a marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. Like, people who are pleasing to the eye, who advertise certain things, who make people engage and pay attention, are able to sell something, you know? So it's definitely a marketing strategy. Yeah. The way that you look, the way that you present yourself is a marketing strategy, but you have to figure out who is your target market. That's what you have to understand. I think a lot of times people don't even understand their own target market. Mm. So if you're doing something in more conservative spaces, but yet you're trying to target a market that's not conservative and you're trying to sell sex, then it gives a mixed message. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why everybody don't do the same thing. That's why when you watch WAP and you see Megan and Cardi doing that, it's not going to work for everybody.
Right.
You know, because right. You can't sell it. Everybody can't sell the same thing. So I don't think it's anything wrong with women being sexy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, not. Or
enjoying their sexuality.
These individuals that I'm talking about, they are. Like, I mean, and I'm using this word, stallions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but clearly I'm not talking about Meg, although Meg is a bad, she a bad one.
And that's the thing for me, right? When you watch Meg, right? And you see the level of either love or hate that she gets, right?
Man.
And it's either or, right? Because what she represents, either people love it so much or they angry by it because they feel that is a message that doesn't coincide with them. It's negative. It's telling young girls this. It's not. It's who she is. It's who she's representing, who she is to the fullest of her, you know, ability.
That's who she is.
And that's what she's selling.
She's so many things.
So many things.
She's educated. She is passionate about issues. You know, I've had numerous conversations either with Meg directly or her team about things that she cares about, ways that she, you know, applies her resources and education to try to help causes. You know, she's in school. And it's almost like people really hate that. It's like, not everybody, of course, but there is an element of folk in society that are angry that she's like all of these different diverse things. And we know hate because we see it. It just happened to me recently. I said something in a TMZ interview and, you know, and I know what I'm talking about. I know it's in proper context for the issue that I'm dealing with in that moment. And people just, you know, they're making their whole career off of trying to post about it and talk about it and get their clicks and shares. And in the past, I would go out and go arguing with them and going online and, you know, be sitting there all day long typing back and forth like the frog when you see the frog going in.
Yeah.
That's what I generally would do. But I have grown past that. My thing is, if you're trying to get your clicks and shares off of me, you go ahead and do that, because most people who heard my statement and you know, you can go find it yourself. We don't have to get into that today. But, you know, most people who heard it, they know exactly what I was talking about, you know, and you know, anyway, that's a topic for a different day. And so, you know, with even with Cardi, and you know how much I love Cardi, again, another person that I talk to and have really come to learn, love, and understand who she is as a person outside of music. Mm-hmm. And you see the hate that she receives as well. And it's deep.
It's a deep hate because people are afraid of your own confidence. Mm. They're afraid to see confidence in somebody else that they don't have for themselves. Mm. When you can say and do something and be unapologetic and be like, this is who I am, and I don't care if everybody else is doing it or not, I'm so comfortable in like, Cardi shows up as her full self every time.
No matter what.
No matter what. She gonna be in rollers in her house. She gonna have no makeup on. She gonna have a baby. She gonna talk broken English. She gonna talk about political issues. She gonna tell you how she feel. She might curse about it. She gonna talk about her wife.
She might file for divorce. She might and then
do
go back.
She gonna do whatever she wants to do.
She's a great entertainer and a great story of personality.
Her person. She has a personality. That's why she got there. Because she's from my hood. You understand what I'm saying? Right down the block from where my mother lived.
My bro. I love my bro. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So when I used to see her on Instagram, she had a million followers before she did anything.
Right. She was lit before.
She was lit just because people paid attention. She was somebody who captivated you, who you gravitate, whether she was having a fight on the street, whether she was talking about, yo, y'all B-I-T-C-H, y'all know is what it is. It's popping. She coming from the street. Whatever it is. People paid attention to Cardi. And you know, and she has a personality because it's authentic.
Yeah.
You know, that's what and that's what we always been attracted to. I don't care. You don't gotta be politically correct. You don't have to be the best person, the smartest person, nothing. Long as you are authentic, you know what I'm saying? I will always respect you. Yeah. And Cardi is authentic to the fullest, man. And that's why we receive hate, because at the end of the day, we don't care what you think about us. I don't care what you think about my
opinion.
I've never cared. I don't think I care what you think. I hate to be lied on. I hate for you to state something like, see, I'll still argue on my page because you're not going to go on my page and state something that's wrong.
Yeah, it's too much.
No, it's not too much. It's too much for you to lie on me. You can't lie on me and try to discredit me.
You into what the streets be talking about.
Yeah, because I'm still parallel. You understand what I'm saying? Even though I'm removed from the street life, I'm not removed from the streets. And that's where most of the people that I'm trying to save
these
and
change. These people that be giving me drama, they not from the street.
Nah, they not.
I've never seen them outside.
You don't even see
ever,
them. They don't even got a profile pic. Most of the people that talk about you.
Some of them don't. Some but I'm don't talking about the ones who actually lead the attacks.
Oh, yeah, man.
But anyway, I hope they get them some extra followers.
Man,
you know?
They, please.
I hope my name brings them a little more
I know
success.
People who I've pretty much sparked their whole career. Yeah,
absolutely.
They got whole YouTube pages built off talking about me. So I'm okay with it.
All right. Well, hey, I guess that's a good thing.
It's an excellent thing. The streets is talking.
The streets are always talking. Streets talk too damn much. I tell you that.
I told
the time.
You that. Shh. That's why people going to jail.
But you know, we got to have some debate about that. Because this whole, I keep saying, I get the concept of the no snitching piece. I totally get it.
You get it.
But I'm not sure these kids get it from the right perspective. And I think it's kind of dangerous.
It is.
But we can't, today is not the day.
This ain't the day.
But we need to have a deep conversation.
It ain't really that deep. It's
about,
really just common sense.
It's deep. But what's the streets talking about?
The streets are talking about the Grammys.
Streets was definitely talking about the Grammys last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been
but a
little
we
tough.
But why we keep talking about the same, we know already.
But even though you know something, right, every time that you face with it and you actually see it, it just, I think for individuals, it gets hard, especially as an artist, right? Mm-hmm. As an artist, when you know you put your heart into something, you know the people have embraced it, you know it's been celebrated by the people that you actually make music for, and then you have an institution that doesn't respect that, you know, because they don't respect our culture or don't respect us in general, you know, and to constantly see that, it doesn't feel any better every time. You know, you say whatever, I don't care about the Grammys, but you know it's a prestigious,
it's a very important,
you know, it's an important award, especially for artists when you create worldwide and universal music. So when you don't get recognized, you know, and you don't win awards, especially from our culture, it feels a way, you know, so even if you don't expect it, you're like, damn, I know I deserve it.
Yeah.
And we can't, and the thing is, it doesn't lose any credibility. Even though we say we know this and that, we have not done the proper way, we have not done the proper, you know, taking the proper steps to make the Grammy lose the credibility and put something in place of it that represents us properly.
Well, I know they've made some internal changes. And, you know, I know our sister, Valesha Butterfield Jones, is there doing diversity work. So I know there's changes happening, but you're talking about an old institution and it's going to take some time for them to actually align with, first of all, there's probably people fighting against it. So, you know, you can't just hire one or two people and think that the whole culture is going to shift. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I agree with you because I feel snubbed because I'm in a few songs that I know I should have won Grammys
for. But are those songs even out for Grammy? You didn't get a chance.
They should have been.
They just came out, Tamika.
No, what are you talking about?
The songs
were
posted.
Big Daddy Kane. That's been months ago. You telling me that the song that came out six months ago?
Yeah.
David Banner and them had in the what's David Banner's song? Burn this shit.
We gonna burn this bitch.
Burn this. Ooh,
we gonna burn this bitch.
Okay, but I like that song. Anyway.
I love it.
And so that's been months. It was before. There was like winter time. I don't know. Anyway, it
but
was
a lot
a
of the songs that you
ago.
Are in.
Listen, I should have received the Grammy. I better get one next year for Trey the Truth. We got a song with him. I'm on T.I.'s album. I'm on who else album? I'm on Jeezy. Oh, you know, we gotta win a Grammy.
Got to.
You know,
I mean listen to you. You're like a real artist.
I'm almost an artist.
You know, what I'm
if
saying?
This don't work out,
you can go.
I go and get with Meg. Listen, and Vogue had me. I mean, it wasn't a song. It was a performance that they did for one of the award shows. I can't remember exactly which one, but I was in an In Vogue performance. That's amazing.
Dope.
So it's a lot of
I
stuff.
Mean, yeah.
I feel. Come on.
It's kind of epic.
So I understand. We are upset.
We upset.
With the Grammys.
For being snubbed.
Because we should have
won. Because
Tamika
won her Grammy. She don't know where it's at. It's late. It's late.
I don't know
it's
the dates. I don't know it's nothing. Coming. But I know I should have been in it.
Just keep on. Well, just keep going.
Yeah. Keep
You're
going.
A new artist. You could have been new artist of the
As
year.
As our young brother Travis would say, keep
going.
Going.
R.I.P. to Travis.
R.I.P. to Travis.
Before we go to the next segment and have our special guest join, We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. That's how we own it. Speaking of lyricists. We have one of my all-time favorites. I would put her in the GOAT category. Mm-hmm. And it ain't just as a girl. You know, they be like, oh, she's one of the dope girls. No, she's a dope just artist and rapper right, and lyricist. Right, not
the dope female artist. Just like, the dope
premier.
Premier. That's you know? And she's actually my sister friend.
She's our sister friend. Don't she's be dagging well, like, don't you be know, trying to take it. You, she ain't just your sister.
She's my sister friend first. She's a okay. sister. You know how you make up words?
Sister. We have our sister.
Yes.
Rhapsody.
Yes, right.
In the house.
My homegirl. There she is.
Look at your rap.
What's going on with it?
Loved one.
Where y'all going? Oh, y'all look quiet. This button up on.
Listen.
You know, a little bit. You know, I clean up a little bit sometimes.
Listen, we miss you. We haven't seen you in a few weeks since you were out with us organizing and getting people out to vote. And I have to say congratulations to you because I know that one of the reasons why you were out there on the ground helping to get people to the polls was because you believe that we need a new administration. And we, voila, we have one.
Yes, finally. It was nerve-wracking, but we did it. I wasn't into politics before at all. Like, I didn't vote. I ain't do nothing. Wow. But I've learned so much the last four elections. About the process. And, you know, I understand even more how important every one person counts. Like, we saw it in the numbers. Like, you know, it could be 5,000 people that can make the difference.
That's right.
You know, it going one way or the other. So, yeah, it was a good moment. I'm happy that y'all brought me along.
Yeah, know? No, you've been with us. You've been with us. It's incredible to have you as a friend and a sister. And what we've been debating or talking about, I won't say debating, is this idea of the difference between a lyricist and a rapper. And my son, as you know, believes you're one of the best lyricists in the world.
Hands down.
Shout out to my son, who is also a dope lyricist.
Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, you know, when you believe and you understand the craft, you bet you have to acknowledge other people who take the craft as serious as you and actually push you. Like, I listen to rap and be like, okay, I gotta rap. Now, do you know how dope you are? Like, do you be like, yo, I'm really dope?
Some days. Okay. I'm gonna tell you what it is for me. Like, I gotta kind of trick myself out, right? I hear some stuff and I'll be like, as of lately, I'll be like, hey, I'm really nice at what I do, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's some days I'm like, I don't even want to think that way because I like feeling like I'm the underdog, so I always stay hungry. You know what I mean? I don't want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if that's right or wrong or whatever, but that's my process. Mm-hmm. So, I'm better now though. My confidence is, because before my confidence wasn't always there. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I had to be validated. You know, and when people didn't validate you, or you didn't feel like you were in these spaces that you were supposed to be, mm-hmm. you kind of look inward when that ain't always the case. You know what I'm saying? So I understand where to find value in myself. Mm-hmm. And you have to be your biggest champion.
I feel like there are rooms that, you know, we're not in, right? Because I have that same issue in terms of a lack of confidence at times, feeling like I don't necessarily have the education or the background that some of the greats in terms of leaders, activists, you know, have and don't know how to say all the big words and all of that, right? So I struggle with that. But I feel like if I'm not in a room at this point, it's something wrong with the room. It's not me, you know, because I, even though I may not be at their level, I still bring something to the table. And if you feel like this is not a place that I should be, then hey, that's, now I'm starting to be like, oh, that's y'all. Yeah. You missing out.
Yeah, you know.
By not having Rhapsody as part of whatever. You missing out by not giving her that Grammy. It say something about you. But you've been nominated 3 times or 2 times?
I just got my 4th this year by way of an artist by the name of Jacob Collier. But three for me. Two with Layla's Wisdom and one with Kendrick.
Wow. So dope. That's amazing.
It is. You know, just to not have the celebrity that everybody else has. Because a lot of these war shows, you know, celebrity is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to at least be acknowledged 4 times, I'll take that. But,
right.
You know, I've come to also understand, like, you know, even if you don't, that doesn't change anything for you. You know what I'm saying? Again, you don't need anybody to validate you, but it feels good to be acknowledged.
Nah, it's dope. It's dope to be acknowledged. And you just have such a humble spirit. You know, when you just hanging out with you and just being with you, you just so humble. But when you get on that mic,
she's not humble. You know what I'm saying? Boy.
When she just in that mic, you see this level of like aggression and fire. Confidence and fire that you just is a star quality, you know, that is so unique. Mm. You understand what I'm saying? I think you're on this pace for greatness. It's not just given to you. A lot of artists have this, they just pop on the scene, they have just this major cosign, or they get this one song and then they move into it real fast. I think the gradual growth of you as an artist and people paying attention is what is just making you into this great, is putting you in that GOAT category.
Look, and I think about Oprah, right? I'm in the video, just so everybody knows. I, Tamika Mallory, am in the video, just so people know. But the song is about money, right? Like Black women using our economic power. First of all, who came up with that concept? And what's the artist's name who's also in the song?
Kaylee 47.
Yes, dope.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's like, dope too.
One of my favorites. As far as the concept for the song itself, that was me. That was on the Eve album. And again, I named every record, for those who haven't heard it, after a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to touch on, you know, our economic power and how Black women are the most educated. You know, we own the most businesses too. And, you know, just talk about that side. Like, we could talk about money in so many different ways. Right. I wanted to talk about it in a different way, in a boss way. As far as like the video, and we had to have you,
Jamila, and
who else do we have? Oh, my homegirl Erica.
Yeah.
You know, I got with Misha Hilton, you know, the legendary style creative.
That's it.
You know, we just bounced ideas on, you know, how we wanted to look. But you know, we definitely wanted to highlight nothing but Black women, businesses, ownerships. Wanted to have y'all at the table with a bag of money and talk about like Where is our money and our power most beneficial, you know?
Yeah. They teach in college courses based upon some of the music from Eve, which is amazing.
Dope.
That's
dope.
The highest bar I think I could ever be given. Mm. You know,
that is.
You get the awards and everything, but when you reach, you know, institutions of education, mm-hmm. you live forever. Mm-hmm. Like, they are teaching you you in the same way they teach you math and science and history, how to critically think, things that stick with you forever. Like, to be in those spaces, I think that's the highest bar that anybody can give you, in acknowledgement and gratitude. Like, that's bigger than any Grammy or any award for me.
It sure is. Has there been times throughout your career where you was like, you know what, let me just make a song like this so people can pay attention, right? You
not to pay attention
or because
not to pay attention. It's more so because sometimes you just like, yo, I just want to have fun today, mm-hmm. and do something different, right? Like, people look at me and they put me in a box on who they think I am based on the music I make. When you don't really know me, like, you don't know how I grew up, you don't know what I listen to, you don't know what I like to do. Because I choose to show up a certain way, you know, for the purpose of bringing balance or whatever, that don't mean that I don't like to have fun. That don't mean I don't like to shake my butt in the mirror too, that I don't go to the club and back it up on a dude as well. Like, that's who I am as well. So it's some days you just want to be like, I don't really want to think about it. I just want to have fun like everybody else having fun.
That's right.
That's what it's about for me. It's not, it would only be about trying to be seen if I copied what you did. Man, like, if I'm trying to be you and I'm trying to sound like you, nah. But sometimes it's just like, yo, I want to do my version of what fun is for me, you know?
And that's what we were talking about with WAP.
Exactly.
Because people, I posted it on my page and people lost their minds, and somehow or another you ended up getting my trolls. I don't know exactly how, but they went to you and they were really upset, like, that you are an organizer, a leader, and you're out here talking to it, celebrating WAP. And you and I were looking at each other like, yeah. Because first of all, as we have said a million times, WAP is the number one selling product, whatever you want to call it.
All time.
In the world. Okay, so stop acting like all of a sudden when women start talking about their own bodies, when we take agency over our message and put out whatever it is that, you know, the art, that artistry or whatever word you use, that all of a sudden there's whatever. He makes up words. That now all of a sudden there's an issue because guess what? Men have been selling our WAP for years. We've been selling WAP forever. Now because Cardi and Meg decide they're going to put a song together, which actually is a dope song, right, there's a problem.
Yeah, I had to do some critical thinking, right? And because let me tell you, they be at my neck. Anytime something sexual comes out, I always get thrown in the mentions and then haters come at me and I don't even say nothing. I just, like, I'm over here minding my own business. But I had a critic think, like, okay, what is the real issue, you know? And I think that people have an issue and that they're putting it towards the wrong place, right? It's not about Cardi. It's not about Megan. It's not about whoever else. It's about you want to see more balance, but that comes from the industry, from media, from fans supporting it. So, you know, don't put that energy towards them, like celebrate them, let them do what they want to do. But if you want to see more balance, you have to ask yourself, what can I do, right? Mm-hmm. If you love a LaKaylee 47 and WAP comes out and goes crazy, but you want a dope LaKaylee 40 song that should get the same love, you got to go out and buy that music.
That's right.
You got to buy those concerts. Like, you know, if you see in a media outlet that don't have the balance that you want, don't support it. That's, you know, right. For me, I understand that side of wanting to have more variety because, yeah, men have been selling WAP, but they also have space for Kendricks and Jake Coles, right? And Chance the Rapper. And we don't have that space for a Rhapsody, a LaKaylee 47, a 3D Natty, like, you know, they don't get the same attention. That's just how I look at it. I'm like, okay, I understand your argument, but it's displaced.
It's displaced.
Like, it can't
be about Cardi and Meg. Like, they hot. That song is dope.
Right.
That's right.
The sample they used, I was like, oh, that was genius.
Yeah, that was genius. That was definitely
genius. Now, it was. But speaking of support, Roc Nation is very supportive of Until Freedom. And you have also been extremely supportive of our work, not just with Roc Nation, but just in general. Jay and Desiree and the entire team, they met with us and Charlamagne was the one to push and say, y'all need to be working together. And they met with us. And since then, they have been so into and for our work. And trying to support us. And Jay understands that support means putting dollars behind the work that we're doing. And you sign with them. And I want to know, when you talk about support, how different does it feel to be with a company, an organization that cares about everything that Rhapsody stands for, not just your music, but also your concerns of community, and they're involved in just so many philanthropic efforts. What is that like for you?
Man, that's so fulfilling. You know, it feels like family. It feels like you're part of something that's bigger than business. Mm-hmm. I've had a few emails with Jay-Z, and we talk about, he'll say, this ain't a business, this is culture for me. And that's what I want to be attached to. I don't want to be attached to, you know, a business that's just empty and it's all about money, money, money. You get with an organization like Roc Nation, you know, that care about the culture, the people in it. You know, it's not just about a bottom line. It's like, you know, how can we help and enrich not only our artists, but our people at the same time? Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be with an organization like Jay, you know, I was talking to him one day. He was like, you know, I could go be rich somewhere. You know, I could, but I choose to show up because that's the right thing to do. And that's what I want to do. And people that you see care like that and take care of the people and think outside of themselves, they're going to treat you right as an artist as well.
I want to ask you this question. Like, what do you want your legacy?
When we sitting as old ladies on the beach, like, with sand on our backs,
drive 45-year-old men.
That's right. With our young boots.
You out here cougaring. You out here trying to cougar.
and
we're gonna be like
70 already. Years old with the 45-year-old hottie running around like with the WAP.
Y'all might have some debt at 70.
We're gonna have
a little debt.
We on the beach at 70 years old
with that debt
with the WAP with our 45-year-old boo. What you want people to say about Rhapsody?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I just want to be known as somebody, you know, who went against the grain, who didn't follow the flow, who was the flow, who inspired people, who also showed up for people, you know, and was a voice for people. And hopefully, you know, that widened the door for other females, especially, to come through. You know, I definitely want to be one that impacted the culture in that way and made even more space, you know, for women to show up however they want to show up, you know, whatever that looks like. And to be one of the greatest to ever do
there it. You talk, it. I can talk that. That's what I'm talking about, man. Talk it.
Across from gender, you
know. That's right. Not the best woman to ever do it, but just the best to ever do it. I didn't go with the flow. I was the flow. That is a quote that I'm going to have engraved.
Yeah, I might put that on my Instagram today. I'm stealing it.
It's going to be... I'm going to have it engraved with your name. Rhapsody said this because you are the flow, boo.
Before we leave, could you take us out with something real quick? You know,
Why are you going to put her on the spot like that?
Because, listen, this is one of the greatest that ever did it. Like, this is what we do.
I was told we raps. We got to rap. Yeah. All right. Heart, flesh, Bob Marley, speak mind. What you thought them 99 problems was? War on drugs, legality. They got us on fallacies, recorded in casualties. I was supposed to resort in the Maldives now. We in the rallies now. Boxing the IG now. Boxing the IG in the memory. Pouring Hennessy and bamboo shot. Reaching for the ID. Get off my neck, nigga, unless you're Cuban link. I think like the Cubans think. You'll never get a side of back. I got your back, T. Mallory. Carry on like a Prada bag. That's it.
There we go.
Get off my neck unless you Cuban link. That's what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's a ball. We love you, babe. Appreciate you, loved one.
Thank you. Y'all look fly today, too.
Yeah, we do that.
You know what I'm saying?
On Street Politicians, we do that. You know what I'm saying? I throw it on.
Clean up nice. You know what I'm saying? Before we go to the next segment and have our special guest join, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors.
That's how we own it.
And now in our activist moment that is really, really important to the Street Politicians family and to this show.
Yes, I
am extremely proud.
Extremely.
To have one of my mentees, although the other day she told me, listen, I don't have time for you because I'm a law student. I'm running the Until Freedom Atlanta division. I'm working with several organizations and I'm helping with my little brother's business that has now become a family operation, Mason Superdogs. Okay. Do you know Mason is like, I don't even know. We're going to talk about
Mason. He is an entrepreneur.
But he's mad young.
Extraordinaire.
Okay. And Mary said, so I don't got time to be on text messages and phone calls with you. Whatever. But this is my mentee, who is an incredible organizer. She's been organizing since 9 years old, maybe even 8 years old, doing great work in the community around gun violence, around civil rights issues, and not just in Georgia, but across the country. She is well known as being at one point it was a young activist, and now she's an adult who just recently graduated from Spelman. And now is a law student, and I'm super proud to have Mary Pat Hector to join us today on Street Politicians. What's going on, Mary Pat?
Thank you all so much for having me.
Are we going to win the Senate election? Oh, I'm sorry, my son. Did I jump to ask your question?
Lord have mercy. Are we going to win the Senate race in Atlanta, Mary Pat? Are we going to win? Are the young people going to come out and vote?
I'm hoping that we will win the Senate election. Who would have thought that the young people would have pushed Joe Biden over the top in the state of Georgia? Many people were looking at Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and other cities thinking that, you know, Joe Biden was going to win, but no one even predicted that Georgia would be in the position that it is in right now. And so I believe that young people will show up to the polls and I believe that we will win, but I think we're going to need to do a lot more mobilizing, which is what we're doing every weekend, going to different cities across the state of Georgia and those rural Black communities to ask them to turn back up. Mm-hmm. Statistics show that normally in runoff elections here in the state of Georgia, that conservatives and Republicans turn up more. So I'm hoping that if we continue to push the importance of the Senate seat and the fact that we always criticize the fact that President Obama wasn't able to do much for people of color, if we tell them due to political gridlock, we can't afford for this to happen again for another 4 years, we are depending on the Senate seat, that young people will show back up.
A lot of people don't really understand. Like when we talk about Obama's presidency and a lot of people say, Obama didn't do anything. He didn't get this done. And they don't understand how in relation to the presidency, the Senate is very important. Could you kind of break down why it's important for us to win these two seats right now?
Yeah, you talked a little bit about the bottleneck, right? Yeah. And so just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, just break it down for the average person at home that just doesn't get it.
Yeah, well, our government is broken down into three branches of government. And the reason why we call it the Iron Triangle is because we need the Iron Triangle to basically ensure that one position in government doesn't control the entire government. Like, we all need everything in order to go around in a circle. And so the president can't do much without the support of the Senate. And the president nor the Senate can really outlaw what the Supreme Court justice says. So there's like a balance in power amongst those branches of government. And so the Senate is there to ensure that the president does or doesn't do something. But if the Senate is against the president party-wise, it's really unfair because anything that the president pushes won't happen. There were so many seats that the president of the United States when Barack Obama was president tried to vote for the Supreme Court. And every time the Republican Senate would just knock it down. It was President Barack Obama's goal to ensure that a woman had that seat, a Black woman, and it never happened for us. It's important for us to understand like the fact that this Senate seat, I want to say, is almost just as important as Absolutely. The presidential seat, like if not more important.
Before you go, just want to ask you, because you know, again, you told me the other day, don't call you while you're in law school. In terms of what you're learning, right? So we're going through this situation where we now know that a committee in Kentucky has said that they will not establish or assign a new special prosecutor to deal with Breonna Taylor, the case and the matter of Breonna Taylor. Do y'all learn that stuff in law school? Like while you're in law school, are you learning about current cases or is it all pretty much archaic?
No. It's all archaic as well as like the public policy portion. I'm doing a dual degree and with the public policy portion, we didn't even talk about the election once in a master's program. Everything that we're learning right now is very archaic and old. And it's really just up to you, like in your personal time to really investigate and learn those things on your own.
You continue to do the work, Mary Pat. I see Mary Pat working.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Every time we go, Mary Pat is on the ground. She's ordering us around, telling us what she needs us to do. She's controlling everything. You know what I'm saying? So, Mary Pat, we love you. Keep
Mary
doing
Pat
the work.
She's got to go because she's at Mason Super Dogs right now.
Entrepreneur.
And she's supposed to be on the line helping her young brother to get the work done. Mason told me, he said, listen, how old is Mason? Mary?
14.
Mason at 14 years old has his own business. There's a facility, just so y'all know. There's an actual building where he sells his hot dogs. He started out selling hot dogs on the corners and doing, you know, and then work at Morehouse and, you know, being sort of like a street vendor. And now he has an actual facility. He said, I watch my sister as an activist and I see that she cannot make real money from that. So what I'm going to do is build the business model so I can support my sister. And I love that concept.
That's right.
Black business as well as organizing to come together. Thanks, Mary Pat.
Love you, Mary Pat.
See ya.
See you.
That's how we own it.
I don't get it.
Every week you don't get something.
I don't get a lot of stuff, man. And since we're talking about music, I just don't get why we don't promote, celebrate, you know, reward good music. And we push the most negative, trash music in the world.
Well,
literally, when you look at the people who look like Rhapsody, you understand what I'm saying? Like, the fact that Rhapsody is not celebrated to the highest degree with the level of artistry she puts in, lyricism, like, it's a body of work. Eve is a body of work, you know, and it's not celebrated nearly as much as somebody like Lil Pump or something like that. Like, how do we not celebrate something that's that dope?
She said it. She gave the answer. She said that it's not just looking at one side of the coin. You have to flip that coin over and look at media in general and how we are portrayed, the industry, what they actually want to sell to
our community. But that's what I'm saying. Why do they want to sell that?
Because people benefit from us going into prison. People benefit from us, you know, not being as educated as we should be. People benefit from us not.
It's not even about education for me, though. No, but I'm just telling you. Quality. It's just about when you hear music that has a message, that has substance, that is going to last, be eternal. You know what I'm saying? Why would you not celebrate music that has an eternal feeling, that the emotion that's in that song is going to transcend just this time period?
Right, but today. But again, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about in general.
There is an element that we as a people, or we as people, need to support those things. But what I'm saying to you is that there are people who benefit from our stupor. They need us to stay doped up on pills, going to prison, glorifying
but
money.
But why do we?
I know.
I understand because, why they benefit
because
from
those
it.
Those images are being promoted over and over and over again, and it sells as what's cool. So if you can make millions of dollars being ignorant, where you can't, you damn near sleep all the time, you mumbling everything, and nobody even knows what the hell you're talking about, and you selling popping pills and wearing chains and all of that stuff, and that's your whole message. If you make millions of dollars doing that, and the same companies will not pay a Mison, a Rhapsody, and a Neelam and others, then these young kids are taught that the direction they have to follow is the one that actually can take care of your family and get you out the hood. So that's why, because it's designed like that.
It is. And I don't get it though. I get it.
But I get
that's the design.
Because we should just do it ourselves.
Like, we should just know, like, yo, this sounds good. This is good. Damn, this is right. A real, because most people hear the same music and be like, yo, that shit's dope.
Right.
It's dope. But they don't support it. They don't go out. Like, people will love you in private. It's artists who have the biggest stature in the world who come to me and be like, yo, you so dope.
Right.
They tell you that, but they won't go on their platforms and promote you.
No, they won't.
They won't come and say, yo, I'm going to put you on this song. They won't push, let me promote this song for you. Like, they won't do it. Like, radio heads and all of that to tell you how much they love you. Yo, I love what you do. Your music is dope. But they don't push it.
Right.
You know, because...
No, I hear you.
That's what Rhapsody was saying. She was like, we can't complain. We got to go out and support that.
Support the
You know,
music.
There's no balance if we don't support that. And I just don't know why we don't. Why we know we love it. We hear it. We be like, this is dope, this and that. But why won't we support things that we actually love?
I agree.
That's good for us and to us.
I agree. You know? I mean, what you're saying makes perfect sense. We complain and we say there's too much violence. You know, there's not enough support and resources in our community. And then we actually perpetuate those things by supporting the stuff that's completely
that's pushing an
opposite.
Narrative. Exactly.
So I guess I don't get that one with you.
See?
Kinda. Don't get too excited.
Don't get too excited. No. Listen, we're not always gonna agree. I'm not gonna always be right. And even though she's mostly wrong, she's not gonna always be wrong. But we always gonna be authentic.
Always.
Make sure that you come, give us your feedback. Let us know what you want to hear, what guests you want to see, what topics you want us to discuss. You know, we already the number one podcast. You can let us know that. Tell us how dope we are.
No, they got to help us become number one. But we are 001 in the world.
We before number one.
We great.
Keep on, you know, giving us your feedback. That's we want to hear it. If you hate us, which I don't understand how you could possibly do that, tell us that also.
Yeah.
You know, so hashtag Ask Street Politicians and give us your feedback.
And you can watch episodes every single week on iWoman TV, old and new. And of course, you can listen to us every single Wednesday on the Black Effect Network on iHeartRadio. Peace.
Peace. That's how we own it.